I said how exciting it was to do the last chapter, and I was excited, and I'm still excited about the wonderful truths that are in the Word of God, that we can come before the Lord with an unveiled face, that we can come into His presence and experience this incredible relationship with God. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, you could try the next one, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There's a liberty that we have in Jesus Christ that can't be found anywhere else. But when we look at all of this, we discover, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom where the Spirit of God is. This is a great freedom that God has given to us. Freedom to come into the presence of God. Now that's the greatest freedom of all. To be able to come before the pureness and the holiness of Almighty God and not be consumed, not be destroyed. He is so perfect and so glorious. We talked last week about the holiness of God. And people say, well, you know, flippantly, well, you know, I want to go to heaven. I want to see God. And listen, it's kind of like we said, the sun. The sun is beautiful. The sun is glorious. The sun is awesome. But what would happen if you got too close? You'd be burned to a crisp. You'd be destroyed. As good as the sun is, as glorious as the sun is, it's unapproachable. It's unapproachable. Well, so is God. I mean, He made the sun. He made all the suns of all the worlds. How glorious He is. How unapproachable He is unless somehow we are given a way to come into His presence. And we have been given that way, and it is only through Jesus Christ. But we can come through Christ. We can come all the way into the presence, into the Holy of Holies of God through Jesus Christ. And so that's why it says we can come with unveiled faces. We can contemplate the Lord's glory and be transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's saying he wants them to see the superiority of the gospel, the perfect fullness of that gospel that we can come into the presence of God with. And so he says in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Yeah. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry." The Apostle Paul says, listen, we have this ministry, this glorious ministry. Other people are coming along with their different ideas. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, there is no other ministry. There is no other way. How can anyone approach God without this? Because we have this ministry and we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So this ministry is so glorious. This gospel, this truth about Jesus Christ is so worth it in every way. We talked a few weeks ago, well, I don't know how long ago it was now, with all the different breaks in the times we've had to come together, but we saw that it was worth it to follow Jesus. It is worth it to worship Jesus. It is worth to spend your life serving God. It is worth it to praise Him and to worship Him. It's worth it taking the time to meet with God first thing in the morning. He's worth it, isn't He? Oh, He is so worth it. More than worth it, absolutely. And this gospel is worth proclaiming. It is precious, it is great, it is glorious. People who follow their sports teams, they're not ashamed of them, are they? They declare them, they'll shout them out. I understand that at the basketball tournament that went on down in wherever it was, is it Knoxford? No. In Halifax, that people were cheering for their team. And they weren't ashamed of it. Huh? They would go wild. And some people who normally you don't hear a peep out of them, man, they just come, they ignite as they're worshiping, not worshiping, but praising their team. Can we not do that for Christ? Yes. Can we not live for Him? Can we not declare Him? And even if somebody thinks you're nuts, so what? So Paul says, we have this ministry. And as we have obtained mercy, because of the mercy of God, because we have met with the Lord, because we have been able to come into the presence of God and not be consumed, we don't faint. We don't become discouraged about this. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We are not walking in craftiness. We are not handling the Word of God deceitfully. But by the manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So he says, listen, this gospel is not something that's cheap. This gospel is not something to be handled in the way the world handles stuff. There is no coming around and trying to do things in a sneaky or in a crafty way. We are talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are talking about a relationship with Him, a relationship that is filled with the grace of God. We've received this mercy. We've experienced this goodness. We've walked in this place of walking with God. And so because of this, we renounce the hidden things of shame. We walk away from the darkness and we walk into the light and we declare the light. We are not going to walk in craftiness or handle the word of God in a deceitful manner, because this is exactly what was happening. The Corinthians were being exposed to false teachers, and so are you. So the world is being exposed to false teachers. And often it is the truth that many people don't want to hear about God, don't want to hear about Jesus, don't want to hear about the gospel, because somebody has misrepresented it to them. They've misrepresented the gospel. Because religions have taken up the name of Jesus and used it for profit and for gain and for control of other people. And as a result of that, many people are contrary to it. They're against it. And you know, the Apostle Paul is writing here and is saying, we've received mercy. We don't lose heart. There are some who are going to use the word of God deceitfully, but we're not going to be one of those. There is the true gospel, and there are true believers and preachers of the gospel who stand with the truth and are not there for personal gain, not being sneaky and not handling the word of God in a deceitful manner, not taking the Bible and twisting it around to suit their own ends or their own ideas. Instead, why would I want to change this message? Why would I want to change a message that actually sets people free? Why would I want to pervert it when it's the only thing that will actually bring life to dead people? The only thing that will bring people into God's heaven is this message. We wouldn't want to think about changing this message. And so we commend, it says, by the revelation of the truth, by revealing, manifestation, that means the revelation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, Paul can say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to every person that believes. And not only is it the power of God for salvation, but we know that it is the truth. And we can say, I have a clear conscience in the sight of God, that we commend ourselves to every man's conscience, that people, I can say with confidence, this is the truth. I don't have to be to be afraid or ashamed or anything else. This is real, this is true, and it is the only way that people can be saved. That hasn't changed down through the centuries. We need Jesus Christ in order to be saved. I don't make any apology for declaring that reality, that people need to be saved, that they need to put their personal faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they don't, they will be lost. If they do, they will be saved. If you want to be in the presence of God, if people want to be in that glorious heaven, they need to come by Jesus Christ. There is no other way in. There's no good works. There's nothing else that can get us into the presence of God. And this is the truth of the matter. It is so true and so real that the Apostle Paul goes on to say something in this next passage here in 2 Corinthians 4:3. If this gospel is so glorious, if it is so exciting, if it is so revealing, if it is so life-changing, if it is something that transforms us as we come into His presence, so that when you come into the presence of Almighty God because of Jesus Christ, and as you behold Him, your life is transformed and changed. If all of this is so true and so amazing and so wonderful, how come everybody doesn't see it, and how come everybody doesn't believe it? And this is why Paul says the next passage that he says, but even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are lost, those who are perishing. Now he says, while it's true that it's glorious, while it's true that I can come into the presence of God and not be consumed, many people can't see it. In the Old Testament, remember when Moses came out of the tent of meeting, the children of Israel, the Israelites says, Moses, put a veil over your face. We can't look at this. It's too awesome. It's too bright. Your face is shining with the presence of God, and we don't want to see it. We don't want to see it. Friends, the world can't see the glory of God. It's veiled to them. There's a veil over their eyes. They can't understand it. You know, I can make it as plain as I want to make it, but still, there's a veil there. It's foggy. I don't understand all of that. I believe there's a God, But what's this stuff about a lamb being killed and blood being shed? And what business? What's the good of Christ dying on a cross? What does all that mean? And to many, it's veiled, can't see it. And as a matter of fact, at one point, that was the case for all of us. Couldn't see it. If our gospel is hid or veiled, it is veiled or hidden to those that are perishing. Lost sinners can't see it. They can't grasp it. They can't experience it for themselves. They might even know the intellectual truth of it. You could probably, some people, you could go and you could say to them, can you explain the gospel? And they could explain it right back to you. But they're still veiled to them. They still haven't grasped it for themselves. They haven't believed it for themselves. Do you? Do you believe it for yourself? Do you see your own sin? Do you see your own lostness? And do you see a Savior who has come to take your place, to save you completely, uttermost? The Bible says He's able to save completely to those who come to Christ by Him. Have you believed in Him? Have you trusted Him for the salvation of your soul? Because when you do, the veil's gone. When you do, you finally see for yourself. You see who He is. You know that He's your Savior. You know that you're saved. You know that at the last breath that comes out of your body, you're going to go into the presence of Almighty God, because you're already going there. Because you're already in His presence. Because you've already stepped into the Holy of Holies by faith. Because you're already praying and praising and worshiping. And you're already seeing Him for who He really is. Now we understand why. Why is it that lost people can't see this gospel? Why is it that they don't embrace it immediately? Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age. That is the devil. That's right. Yeah. Whose minds the god of this world or the god of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them or shine upon them. And so it says here, why is it that they do not believe? There's a spiritual darkness. It's not an intellectual thing, friends. It's not all some people aren't smart enough, or some people are too smart. Listen, friends, a small child can simply put their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And so it isn't that. Somebody who is mentally challenged can simply trust in the Lord. It's a simple thing. As a matter of fact, many times, as Jesus has clearly said, unless you have the faith of a little child, you'll no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Come simply, come straightforwardly, come to the Savior, put your faith and trust in Him, and you can put your trust in Him right now and be sure of being saved. Praise God. But for those who do not know Christ and those who have not trusted in Him, they find themselves in a place where it doesn't make any sense, because Satan is real. The devil's real. And the ruler of this age, the prince of the power of the air, he's called in the Bible. The one in the Bible says the whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. Now that's not talking about the physical world. That's talking about a world system. A world system that is against God. A world system that seeks to drive people away from God and to pervert the truth about who God really is. But we have this promise that this gospel is still true and it's still light. But here's the devil himself obscuring the truth of the gospel, blinding people somehow through it. And it says this: the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Oh, you can even see the glory coming, squeaking out of this statement here. Just coming right out of it, saying, here's the darkness and here's the light. And yet the devil seeks to blind the minds of people from the truth of the light. He does everything he can to keep people away from seeing what the gospel really is, seeing Christ for who He really is. Because if they get a glimpse of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, man, it's life transforming. It's eternity transforming. Yes. It really is.
It's glorious.
For it is, and now we see what the gospel is like. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. When did that happen?
Like I said,
Ah, but when did it actually happen here? What's he talking about here in 2 Corinthians 4:6? The very creation. God said, let there be light, and there was light. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Exactly. Exactly. That's why he's using this reference. He's going back to the very beginning of creation. When there was nothing, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that is the glory of God, the revelation of God. And so when there is darkness in the souls of people, when there is a darkness that cannot, it's just black, utter darkness, and yet God can command the light to shine in the darkest heart. That's why Paul says we don't lose hope. That's why we don't faint. Because even though that Satan seeks to blind the minds of people, God steps in. And he steps with the glory of God. And it is the knowledge of Jesus Christ that breaks through the clouds of the darkness, that causes people to see the light and causes people to be saved. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God's mighty power that reaches into the darkest soul, and suddenly, as the flashlight of God's light illuminates the soul, illuminates the heart, illuminates the mind of a lost sinner, suddenly the light comes in. Praise the Lord. Suddenly the darkness is dispelled. And that light is shone. I'm sorry?
I said you see everything differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything transforms because I see him and his light, and suddenly the darkness is lit up. Jesus said that he was the light of the world. He said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so the same world that you looked on the day before you were saved looks different the day after, because you see the world in a different way.
Yes.
You see the world system in a different way. You see sin in a different way. You see people in a different way. You see yourself in a different way. Why? Because the light of God has shone.
Amen. You see God in a different way.
You see God in a different way. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. In every way, this wonderful, glorious, powerful, majestic light of God that shines in the darkness, that gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And it says this because there's a sense of understanding of who God really is. Suddenly I see how perfect he is. I see the holiness of God. In that light of the holiness of God, I see my sin. And it devastates me in one side, but it blows me away in a good way on the other side of it all. And I see who he is. And I see who he is, but it's in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the person of Jesus Christ. It is he who has revealed who God really is. We see who God is in his person. We see who he is in his character. We see who he is in his holiness. We see who he is in his mercy. We see who he is in his wisdom. All these things are seen in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why the gospel is so precious. That's why the truths about who Jesus is so exciting. Because if I see who Jesus Christ is, I know who God is. Now God is revealed. Now God has been revealed through his Son. In time past, God spoke through the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed heir to all the worlds, and that is from Hebrews chapter 1. And so this is the picture that Paul gives here to us. As he speaks about the glory of this gospel, as he speaks about how amazing it is that it transforms our lives, he says, but that there are people who are in darkness. There are people who are blinded. There are people who don't see the gospel. They don't see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. They don't understand any of it. But the same God who spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light, has spoken into our hearts. You know, that doesn't leave much room for boasting on your part. None. It doesn't leave any room for you to talk about how good you are and what you did in order to become a believer in Jesus Christ. It is God who shines into your heart. Now, what can I say about that? I can encourage every lost sinner, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Open the Word of God. Read what it has to say. Discover what the truth is, because the truth will set you free. But it is this light, this gospel, that comes in and sets people free. Praise God that it is. It causes you to see Jesus. My friend, if you truly see Jesus, you will be saved. You'll be saved because you'll see him for who he really is, and you'll understand what a savior he is and what he did for you, and the darkness will be dispelled. Look, the Pharisees walked in the presence of Jesus Christ and they didn't see him. People have sat under sermons and didn't hear it, didn't understand it. And over and over and over again, they could hear the same message. And then one day, all of a sudden, bang, they see it. Yeah. They see who Jesus really is. They see themselves as a sinner. And they put their faith and trust in him. They see that he died on the cross for their sins. Amen. And when they do, glory. Oh, what glory. Amen. In understanding that, in grasping that, and in rejoicing in the truth of it. How amazing it is. When we put our hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ and we understand that gospel message. I was reading on last Wednesday as we had Bible study and we had it in our home. And I just felt like I should read the account of the revival in Margrave in the late 1800s. And as George McPherson came to faith in Christ, as he heard the message of the preacher in the Margrave Valley Baptist Church, and so long ago, as a young man, a teenager, 13 years old, and he heard people standing in the meeting and saying, "I have come into the light." That was the common word that they used. "I have come into the light." And I think there were over 70 souls that were saved over a few weeks of meetings where people came into the light, where they were transformed. And this young boy was thinking about this, and he wanted it, but he didn't know how to get it. And so finally, he went to a meeting, and he stood in the meeting and said, "Pray for me." He asked for prayer. And he said after that meeting, he felt that he had put himself in the way of blessing. And on the way home that night, as he was walking along in the dark, he stopped and he sat on a log. And as he was there, he began thinking about God. And he tried worshiping God, he said. Worshiping the Creator. But then he got thinking, he said, "Well, the Mohammedans worship God too. So people can say they're worshiping God, but their understanding of God is only what they know. Which often may be, well, God is the Creator. Or God is he made all these things. God is pretty smart. God is wise. God is all these things." But then he began to stop and think about Christ. It is Christ, friends. If you want to know God, you can see his hand in all of creation and still be a lost sinner. You can see his wisdom in all the things that he has made and all the way things have been arranged, but still be a lost sinner. You can believe in God in that respect and still be totally lost. But when he began to reflect on Christ, and he began to think about Christ and him crucified, and what he did on that cross for sinners, something changed in his heart. And then he saw the wonder of God. He saw the wonder of a Savior. He saw the wonder of a Savior bleeding and dying for his sins. And when he saw those truths, suddenly he knew, there my sin was laid. There the price was paid. There a Savior has come. And he has died for me. He was saved. That's over 100-some years ago. He was saved. Gloriously saved, and went on singing as he went down the path to home. "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." He knew he was saved. It's kind of funny. The next morning, he said, when he woke up in the morning, he was wondering, would he feel the same way as he did the night before? Yes. Maybe it was just the atmosphere of the moment, the emotion of the moment. But no, when he woke up in the morning, he was just as saved as he was the night before. Went on to serve the Lord and to honor him and glorify his life for Jesus Christ. Became a great preacher in New York in what was called the Tent Evangel as he declared the gospel to thousands of people. That's a long time ago. But the same Jesus Christ is here tonight. The same Jesus that opened his eyes so that he could see and be saved and be transformed and his whole timeline set towards eternity. And now he is in the presence of God because the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the same Jesus Christ that saved sinners in the 1800s is the same Jesus Christ that saves sinners today. I praise God for the gospel. I praise the Lord for its power. And God can give us a confidence as we declare this message that it changes lives and it transforms people and they get saved. Hallelujah. It's the truth, friends. Oh, blessed be the Lord our God, who reaches in and causes light to shine into darkness. This is what he does, that he can shine in the darkest heart. No one is beyond that. And I want to say that tonight for everyone here. No one is beyond this. You can be saved and you can know it. You can live in the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I bless God's name for it. And I thank the Lord. If that wasn't true, if I didn't believe that the gospel can't step into the darkest heart, why would I bother preaching? Why would I bother? You know, some people might think, well, you got to find the best living people you can and see if they can be converted.
Well, he came for sinners. Says
he came for sinners. Yeah. That's right.
Not looking for righteous.
So it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter who they are. We're all sinners. The darkness that is in the heart of man is real.
Yes,
we've talked about that, haven't we? How dark it is. And without the light of Jesus Christ, man's heart is truly dark. But God, who commandeth the light to shine into darkness, has shone in our hearts, and he can shine in other people's hearts too. He can still do this. God still saves sinners. Right now, heaven's being populated. God is saving sinners all over the world.
Yes.
And the places where God is saving sinners more than anywhere else is often the third world countries.
Yeah.
That's where it's happening, friends.
Yeah.
We're too smart for our own britches.
Yeah. Yeah.
We think we've got it made in the shade. We've got so much prosperity that we don't need God. And yet we are some of the darkest people on the planet are found right in North America and in Europe.
Yep.
We have been blinded by the wicked one. That God the God of this age, the devil himself, he seeks to blind people. He blinds them through prosperity, not just sometimes trials. Thank God for trials that cause people to wake up to their need.
Yeah.
He uses prosperity. He uses the things of this world and says they're more important, they're more precious. Chase after those things. He uses all the distractions that he can, including all the recreation that we have in our culture today that could keep people going day and night without ever stopping to think about God. But God still shines in the dark places. He can still save sinners here in this area, in the whole Highlands area. God can save, and God will save. I believe that.
Yes.
I believe that God will save. I believe it because I know what it is to persevere for years and years until you begin to see light dawn in people's hearts and the gospel come and people get saved. God will do it. Keep on praying. Keep on praising God. Keep on worshiping him. Keep on seeking him. Keep on declaring this message. Don't get tired of it. Don't grow weary in well-doing, as some are apt to do. Don't go in that direction, because the God who commanded light to shine in the darkness is still doing it. If he wasn't, his return would have come. And as dark as this world gets, the brighter your light will shine, because it is the Christian who walks with God has the light of Jesus Christ. Not only the knowledge of the glory of God. Not only that, because we discovered in chapter 3 that the glory of God becomes our glory. That we become changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. So that you're a walking epistle. You're a walking letter. Isn't that what Paul said? We're writing it right into your heart. So that you're a living manifestation of the light of Jesus Christ. That you are. And then you're declaring the message of the gospel at the same time. Listen, people need all the light they can get. They need your light to be burning and shining. Jesus said that we're the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hid. Don't put your light under a basket. So we have this, our very lives ought to testify, ought to glow with the presence of God. If Moses, who went in the presence of God in the Old Testament, which was a fading glory, it was a glory that was disappearing, was so amazing that people said, oh, we got to put a veil over your face. Then what about you and me? What about us? We ought to be shining with the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go and try to get your face all lit up somehow. I'm encouraging you to walk in the Spirit. I'm encouraging you to be surrendered to the Spirit of the living God. Moment by moment, as you yield to Him, as He does the living in you, as you yield to Him, His light comes shining out. Praise God that it does. It's true. It's real. And it isn't something that you're boasting in yourself. It is leaning on Jesus Christ. It's getting out of the way so that the Spirit of God has the control of your heart and soul and mind. So that not only has God chooses to use the message of the gospel, but He also chooses to use the messengers of the gospel. That's the truth of the matter. That's why the Apostle Paul was declaring that in that way. He said, you're the letter of God. You're written in our hearts. This is real, friends. I can live the gospel and declare the gospel. It isn't one or the other. It's both. And as we live this way, that God uses us. Why He would, I don't understand. But He uses people like you and me, that the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is shining in the dark places and dispelling that darkness by the power of God. May that be so here. May that be so every single day as we live in this light. Because when God commanded the light to shine into your heart, He commanded that it would shine into your heart, that it would shine through your heart, that it would shine out of your heart into a world that is filled with darkness.
That's when the Spirit works.
Amen. It is. It really is. Why is it that God has chosen to use people like us?
I don't know. I ask Him all the time.
Why would He bother with people like us? Hey, God, why don't you just send down a glorious angel and declare the gospel? It's not the way He does it. He sends you and me to live the gospel and declare the gospel. You know, you could talk about light all day long and still be in the dark, right? We could say, talk about, you know, how wonderful you could have a lamp in a room, and you could say, well, you know, that lamp could really shine up this world, this room. And you could tell people about it and say, you know, there's a switch over there. If you turn it on, the place will light up. But it doesn't light up unless somebody turns on the light. Right?
Yeah.
Well, if I am lit up, then that goes a long way to convincing somebody that they need to be lit up.
Yes.
But if I'm not lit up, I can talk to them all day long. All I'm doing is telling theories to them. They're not seeing it. May God, may they see it in us, friends.
Yes.
May the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ not only have shone into your hearts, thank God that it has. May it shine out of our lives. May people see that gospel. May they see it lived and declared so that Satan's work will be dispelled and the wonderful truths of the gospel will be declared by people like us. I praise God for it. I'm not going to finish this chapter tonight, but it says this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure, friends. I bless the Lord for it. But before we get to that, it says this. For we preach not ourselves. That's 2 Corinthians 4:5. It's not all there on that screen. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. This is what we do. And as we do, The result of that is that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. So you see, the Apostle Paul is talking to them about their condition, but he's also talking about himself and the preachers of the gospel. And the reality of it is that we're the jars of clay and that his glory shines out of us. He uses such expressions to say this treasure is in jars of clay or earthen vessels. God is chosen. We say, well, why would God use somebody like me? It's because you're a jar of clay. It's because you're the earthen vessel. It's because you're the emphasis. He is. I mean, if I wanted to get a vase of flowers and bring them to Heather, generally, when you bring the flowers, they don't go on about the vase. They go on about the flowers.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. The flowers is what matters. The vase is the container. Now, you can have a nice vase. I don't mean that. But it's the flowers that matter, not the vase. It's the flowers that want to be revealed. And so it says here, we have a treasure. That is the gospel. That is Christ. That is his presence. That is Christ in you. The hope of glory has come to live in you. But you're the jar of clay. He's the treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So the excellency of the power is from God. It's not from us. It's not you. You know, that's encouraging because a lot of us don't feel like we've got very much to offer at times.
No, but at times we have felt that power and influence. You know, the words we said, you know,
yes.
You thought the Holy Spirit had taken control.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's him.
Yes.
That's the treasure. He's the treasure. God has chosen to take up residence in the likes of you and me, even though we are jars of clay. But he has done it. So that he would be revealed. So that we have to say, well, can't be that person. It's got to be something deeper, something real. What makes you tick? How is it that you can live this way in this world? It's because of the presence of Almighty God. So friends, it's wonderful. It's glorious to understand that this incredible glory of this gospel is to be declared. It does change lives. It defeats the power of the devil. It reaches in and makes us new creations because it is God himself who comes. He comes to you and he comes to shine through you and out of you. That's why the Apostle Paul is saying this. He's saying, listen, friends, you've got false teachers that are coming your way and they're saying all this stuff. And it might sound clever and it might sound this, that, and the other thing. But he said, you know what the power of God actually does. You know that it's because of this wonderful message and this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, that is life transforming. Don't go anywhere else. Don't look anywhere else. Listen to this message. Live this message. Proclaim this message because we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that God's excellent power will be revealed. Oh, how the Lord wants us to see him and how he wants others to see him. Because even though there's darkness in this world, God is not settled to say, oh, well, the devil's got them all. Let's let it go. No, he is not letting it go. He is shining in the dark places. By the grace of God, we pray that not only can we say that about the Apostle Paul, but about ourselves. Because you might stop and think, well, Paul was a great preacher. Or you might think, well, that Pierre, you know, he's not a bad preacher. I mean, he's not a great one, but at least he can preach. So that's where the light will shine. It's going to shine out of him, but can it shine out of me? Oh, of course not. I mean, no, because, you know, he's a greater vessel. Listen, we're jars of clay. You're a jar of clay. He can shine through you. God, if God saved you, then I can tell you this. There's nobody else like you in this world. And you're the unique jar of clay that God wants to shine the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Don't miss that reality. Don't belittle yourself more than you are. Listen, we're jars of clay. Let's accept that. But Jesus Christ can shine out of a jar of clay. Father, I pray you would. I pray tonight, Lord, you would give us great hope in the gospel. That, Lord, you would give us great courage in the reality of it. That, Lord, we would live it by the grace of God. That we would receive all of your mercies, live in your presence, worship the living God, declare you as first and foremost in our hearts, and let the light of the gospel shine out of our lives and from our lips. I pray, Father, make it so. Transform our island, transform this area with the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.